This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, and massive program forthcoming. Per usual, we'll do a full scan of the injury report, which is important because it's a first look at the Sunday games. We'll take a look at the two teams playing on Saturday as well, Niners, Seahawks, Bills, Broncos. We do have some developments. Very important stuff here. You look to, like, for example, Jordan Poyer ruled out for the Buffalo Bills. Not that I'm that high on the Denver offense per se, but I always like to take advantage of these injuries when it comes to the prop market. So we'll talk about everything going on as of right now. We also have some head coaching news as John Harbaugh finalizing with the New York Giants. I'm not sure that's going to go incredibly well, quite frankly, but certainly Harbaugh has a very good resume, and it's an upgrade no matter what from where we've been with the Giants. I'm just not sure if Harbaugh is the answer. A little bit of a retread there. I know that, you know, young ascending coaches, hard to come by. Maybe they should have went out and got Liam Cohen last year, but what do I know? They let Brian Daboll return, and that did not go well. But we'll also be joined on today's program with by the grinder, Tom Brawley, our guy, and he'll pop in. He's got some props for the Sunday games, a little bit more Sunday-centric on his favorite props, which is probably good because at the end of today's show, I will do like we did yesterday, just to make it official, to make things a little bit more dramatic. I will officially go in on some plays for the Saturday games here at the end of the program. Per usual, we're already in on the Zach Charbonnet. That was one of the best bets earlier in the week. Also went in on the Davante Adams over yesterday, and they are, of course, playing on Sunday with some very, very cold weather that we'll probably ask Jim Miller about. He'll join the program in segment number three, former Bears quarterback and doing a lot of work for a long time for the Bears radio network. I know he does their preseason games as well. He's dialed in on all things Chicago Bears. So can't wait to chop it up with Jim to ask him about, obviously, the progression of Caleb Williams. How much of Caleb Williams is hero ball? And how much is he is fully embracing the offense? He's running the offense and all that. That's not easy to evaluate. Our guy Brett Whitefield opines that it's still a little bit too much hero ball. So we'll get Jim Miller's thoughts on that and more. We'll talk about the matchups. What are they going to do with Puka Nacua? How are they going to stop him? Does he agree with my assessment on Davante Adams and more? Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast and you're subscribed wherever you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. The show does go on after the NFL season. Not with yours truly, because I haven't watched a full NBA game since 1990, but we do have Prop Points continuing on here on VSiN. Well, let's get into it. We talked about John Harbaugh. I don't really need to add too much else to that. Certainly an upgrade. Organizationally, he is a winner and all that good stuff. I'm just, what does he do? What does he do? It's one of those deals. Like, he doesn't run the offense, doesn't run the defense. So he's a little bit of a CEO type. So we'll see what they do in terms of the coordinators and all that, because that's obviously going to be critical. Mike McCarthy is scheduled to interview Saturday for the Titans head coaching vacancy. Now that is a good fit. They interviewed somebody else. Artie Smith. I was like, no. Mike McCarthy, I'll take that all day long. He did a little bit better than I thought he would do in Dallas. They had a very good offense. I mean, hard to argue with the results there, although not very good in the playoffs. But let's just get to playoff contention first, because obviously they did not sniff that in Tennessee. Injury report updates here ahead of the divisional round of the playoffs. We'll start with the first game, Bills-Broncos. Ty Johnson still out of practice. I'm not even sure what the ailment is. I forgot. I think it's a toe or a foot or something like that, but not great because he missed last week as well. So I guess we can't count on him. Now, Jordan Poyer, as we mentioned, has been ruled out already. So that's a buzzkill. They may get Ed Oliver back. He's just coming off IR. So it might be a little bit of a pipe dream, but that would obviously help. Not that Denver has a dominant running game, but you know, have all hands on deck. Ed Oliver, Pro Bowl type player. Matt Milano, I'm sure he'll go. Limited all week again. Dalton Kincaid, limited as well. But Dalton Kincaid, last week, by the way, highest route share since week two. That bodes extremely well. Terrell Bernard, it looks like he might play. He's been out for a little while. The linebacker's been limited. Epinesa, he's like a rotational guy. He's also limited. Shaq Thompson, he plays a lot. Limited as well. Broncos are relatively healthy coming out of the bye, of course. Dre Greenlaw was limited. He is one of their outside linebackers there. But otherwise, I mean, John Franklin Myers is on the injury report. He's a starting defensive end, but he had a full practice all week. So we're probably good to go there. Niners, Seahawks, Ricky Pearsall. I think at this point, we are trending toward Ricky playing. Fred Warner, probably not going to play, but he's much like Ed Oliver, working his way back from IR. I believe the hope is if he can play, if they can win this game, he might be able to play in the AFC title game. Trent Williams, full practice. So that bodes well. He's practicing in full. Winters, who is their weak side linebacker starter, he was limited as well. For Seattle, I brought this up last week, and this is one of the reasons why I went in on a couple of AJ Barner props. I think we won one and lost one over the last month or so because Elijah Arroyo was on IR, the rookie tight end out of the U. Very good prospect. Might be a little bit of a tweener where, you know, like a Gerald Everett type. Basically, I never liked Gerald Everett because I don't necessarily like tweener types, but the guy obviously flashed, as does Elijah Arroyo. Watched him practice for a week. Dude's a baller. So he may return, and that would help, certainly, and that would hurt A.J. Barner's chances. Kobe Bryant, also another IR guy. He's practicing in full, so I would imagine he'll go. Charles Cross, the former first-round pick at left tackle, has been out for a little while. Didn't play in that game in Week 18. Not that it mattered because they ran all over them, but he's been limited. He was actually a full practice on Tuesday and then limited yesterday. He did pop up with a new issue, a knee, but he's still limited. So I would imagine that he would go. That's about it. Oh, Reek Woolen, by the way, he did get added with a new oblique injury. He was limited. Next up here, Texans, Patriots, Nico Collins is not looking good here. Out of practice, probably not going to play. Trent Brown, the right tackle, he's been out of practice. That's not great. Denico Autry, he's a backup DN, but he gets out there a little bit. The middle linebacker, Azeez Al-Zahir, middle linebacker here, limited with a knee. So we'll see about that one. Ed Ingram, a couple of injuries on the O-line here. Trent Brown, right tackle out of practice. Titus Howard, who's their left guard, he's been limited, but he was limited last week with an ankle, and he played. Ed Ingram, also limited with a shoulder. They might get Jahar Jordan back, the rookie. He had a limited practice yesterday. That's one of the reasons why I was in on Woody Marks on Monday, because I'm like, no Jordan. It's going to be a lot of Woody Marks, and it was. Kamari Lassiter, still limited. He played last week with the knee issue. It's actually an ankle slash knee. And for the Patriots, Christian Gonzalez, it looks like he has a chance here. He's returning to practice, whatever that means, in terms of being in the protocol. So he's probably doing some light work on the side, maybe a little bit more than that. But I do think, per Mike Vrabel, there's a chance that he's back, because Vrabel talked about him practicing. He felt confident about that. So if we're confident about practice on a Thursday, we have a chance to go. Hunter Henry, he's been limited, got a knee issue. Morgan Moses and the backup, Thayer Munford and Son, both out of practice, though they were both a little bit banged up going into it last week, and they did go. And Tonga, the nose tackle, limited. He'll be he's probably going to go there. Finally, Rams, Bears, not a lot going on here. Terrence Ferguson, though, did get a full practice last yesterday, so that's good. They'll have all hands on deck there. Kevin Dotson, still limited. I can't even remember if he played or not last week. Probably did. No, actually, I think he was out, but he's limited, so that would mean maybe he can return. And then the Bears, they're going to get C.J. Gardner-Johnson back, but a little bit of a moot point because that's Kyler Gordon, so their depth will be better. Roma Dunze and D.J. Moore limited in practice. We're all caught up on the injury report. I'm considering all this stuff for the props, and we'll check in with our guy Tom Brawley next here from FantasyPoints.com, see what he has got cooking for the divisional round of the playoffs. But first, we're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using the promo code PROP. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code PROP to save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. Our guy, Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder, was in on that Jaden Higgins prop on Monday night. I was like, hey, I don't know about that one, but it hit. And he's back with more next here on this Thursday edition of Prop Points on VSiN. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com, and from the aforementioned website, we go to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our guy, Tom Brawley, a.k.a. The Grinder, on the X Machine, at Tom Brawley. Pretty good night for us on Monday, Tom. And I'll say this here at the top. We were both on some props that just missed last week, so it was a little suspect weekend, but we got back on track on Monday. But how about this week? We get it all right on the weekend. So there's no Monday game, but how are you, sir?
I would love to do that. Yeah, last week ended on a strong note on on Monday Night Football. I had Jaden Higgins. You were on Christian Kirk. That was a great call. He is now the number one receiver this weekend, but good end of the week. Could have been much better. I was on a couple. I was on Swift and Kyren Williams. It felt like if they just get another carry or two, both of those guys could have gone over their number, but it was totally close. I was on AJ Brown last week. Definitely.
Me too. I was
Did not see him throwing a pity party and dropping a couple of passes, but those are the breaks when you take some overs. I do have some unders this week. I did pick out a few, but I'll be continuing to scour the sports books and pop plays into our Fantasy Points Discord. But I did find a couple of things that I'm looking at already this week.
Well, one of them is, let's go to it, because James Cook, you like the under here, 76.5. Now, he's clearly been slowing down. I sent you over some data. Not sure how much of that factored in, but you know, they have been pretty good on those zone runs. Cook can do it all, zone, man, gap, all that. But you know, for the most part, he's been good on those zone runs, and Denver's been pretty good there. But what else are you seeing there with Cook that leads you to go under?
Yeah, this is a little scary. Taking the under on the NFL's rushing yards leader, it could backfire on me epically. We'll see if he rips off like a 50-yard run in the first quarter or second quarter. But if Denver settles in here, they've been one of the best run defenses all season long. I think they get overshadowed a little bit on their own defense. Patrick Surtain is the defensive player of the year last year. That secondary, very difficult to throw on. But this run defense has kind of gone under the radar. It's one of the best in the NFL. I dug into the numbers, giving up the second fewest adjusted yards before contact per attempt from our fantasy points data, just 1.54 yards before contact. They're also giving up the second fewest rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. Just 72 yards per game to back. So nobody's really running on them. I went through some of the game logs. Nobody has had a lot of success here. Only one running back has gotten above 77 rushing yards against the Denver Broncos. It was the guy that finished second to James Cook in rushing yards this season, Jonathan Taylor. He did that all the way back in week two. So nobody has gone up over the 76.5-yard rushing mark that James Cook has to do this weekend since week two. So everything's kind of lining up here that Buffalo could have a little bit of trouble running the ball this weekend. If we look at just the last two matchups here for James Cook, tough run defense in Jacksonville. They shut him down last week. Barely played in week 18. I threw that game out. Week 17, though, Eagles run defense that's been pretty good this season. Averaged just 3.4 yards per carry against the Eagles and Jaguars. Two really tough matchups. But the Broncos matchup is even tougher here. So you mix in that this is a game where they're now the underdogs. Maybe they're forced to throw it a little bit more than they typically like to do. Also a short week for them. So, you know, they could be a little bit banged up. Denver's going to be fresh in this game. So everything's kind of adding up here that James Cook might underwhelm a little bit in this performance. He still might end up putting up like 60-some rushing yards and score a touchdown or two.
Right.
But I think maybe he has to do it a little bit more in the passing game or somewhere else. So I'm looking at James Cook to go under 76.5 rushing yards.
I'm pretty sure you'll be correct unless – and that's always a risk. He rips off a long run, which you can't even predict. You can win some, you can lose some on those long runs. Next up, you've got Ramondre Stevenson. Man, he looks great. It's unbelievable how fresh he looks late in the season. I mean, he looks like, you know, he looked in week one like 3 years ago. It's incredible. You like the receiving prop here over 18.5?
Yes, I do. I grabbed this over 18.5 receiving yards. Us fantasy nerds, we were, you know, clamoring for more Trevion Henderson all season long, but this last month of the season, it's been a Ramondre Stevenson show. He's had a couple of monster performances. He did it again in the wild card round. It's not flashy, but he is hard to bring down. He's looking agile out there in the open field. So I think he's kind of established himself as the lead back here. We track route shares for all the different positions, and Ramondre Stevenson is out on the field a little bit more in passing situations. He runs more routes than Trevion Henderson. They trust him in pass pro. They trust him as a route runner. So he gets opportunities in the passing game, and we know Houston's pass defense. We saw it again last week. They shut down perimeter receivers. They shut down slot receivers. It's tough to throw on them downfield, so might have to take opportunities to throw it to the running backs here for New England. And I think Ramondre Stevenson could be involved again. And if we look at some of the recent game logs here, Ramondre has gotten to 22 or more receiving yards in six straight games. He had 3 for 75 against the Chargers last week. And then if we look at Houston, what they have done, given up production to running backs through the air. They've given up 24 or more yards to an individual running back in 8 of their last 9 games. So we've seen backs wow. get to this 24 yards number. We saw Kenneth Gainwell. He underwhelmed a little bit, but he got to 26 yards last week. The only team that hasn't done it, that hasn't had a player get to that 24-yard mark, was the Kansas City Chiefs with Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco. And we know those backs aren't catching a lot of balls for the Chiefs. So I think this is a number that he can get to. I'm not seeing a whole lot of success maybe for these outside receivers. So maybe Ramondre has to kind of carry the load a little bit in the passing game and catch a couple of checkdowns from Drake May.
And in the Bears game, we're going to be talking with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller in about 6 minutes. But you like the over on Caleb Williams, 217.5. You also like Kyle Manungai to go under. Talk about those two picks.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, excellent last week in the second half. You know, really turned it on. A lot of explosive plays. We're always looking for those. Those are the game-changing type of plays, and he hit a bunch of those in the second half. So I'm taking over 217.5 passing yards. Los Angeles, we saw them. Jalen Coker and Tet McMillan, big play after big play in the passing game last week. And that's kind of been their, you know, the biggest issue for this Rams team over the last, you know, over the second half of the season here. Lots of 13th most passing yards per game allowed, at almost 233 in the regular season. And, you know, looking back at recent games here, Rams have allowed at least 243 yards in 5 of its last 6 games. We saw Bryce Young. He doesn't throw for yards, you know, for 200 yards very often, and he did it with ease last week.
Yeah.
The Panthers really focused on throwing the ball last week. So we have seen this total go down. So I think that's why this number is at 217.5. They are calling for cold conditions in Chicago, but
yeah,
right now the forecast really isn't calling for precipitation. Winds should be in the 10 to 15 mile per hour range. So I don't think that's going to affect them too much. So as long as it doesn't dip, you know, another 5 or 10 degrees here, I think Caleb Williams in this passing game should continue to be able to throw the ball. They'll be much more acclimated to it as well, compared to the Rams. My Manungai pick, a lot of that has to do with, you know, the runs that he is most successful on are man gap runs. We track those over at Fantasy Points Data. He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. Rams are giving up the 8th fewest against those type of runs at 3.9.
Totally see it. Totally with you on that one. I came up to that same conclusion, by the way, myself, doing the research for the great Fantasy Points Data Suite. Taking over the industry, by the way, for gambling and for fake football. Follow Tom Brawley on the X Machine at Tom Brawley. Subscribe over at fantasypoints.com for all of his great selections. Great stuff, Tom. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games.
All right, thanks.
There he is. And when we return, we'll chop it up with former NFL quarterback of the Chicago Bears and other teams, Mr. Chicago Bears, Jim Miller, next year on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and as promised, we go to the Progressive guest line. Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback, Sirius XM NFL radio host, Bears weekly radio contributor doing the preseason games. He is on the X Machine at @JimMiller_NFL. He's out of Michigan State, one of the best football guys out of Michigan State, next to Kirk Gibson and Steve Garvey. What is up, Jim? How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Good to talk to you again, pal. One of the greatest weekends in the world, the divisional round of the playoffs. So a lot to talk about.
It, let's get right to it. And, you know, I've known you for a long time. We've done a lot of radio together over the last couple of decades, really. You're Mr. Chicago Bears, so I'm sure you're impressed by the season. We'll get into some specifics. I want to start with the weather. How important do you think that is? The Bears, their players should be a lot more acclimated to it. You know, Caleb is from D.C., not exactly the frozen tundra, but, you know, he should be used to the conditions. How big of a fact do you think the weather will be on Sunday?
It's really just securing the football. I do think for the skill position players, it's not just the quarterbacks. It's the running backs. It's the receivers, you know, securing the ball, tucking it away. The ball can get slick when you get into the colder weather. And that's really what it's about. Even last year, a lot of people, well, Stafford, he hasn't played in the snow. Yeah, he has. He played for Detroit. They played outdoors in Chicago before. Even last year on the road in Philadelphia, it came down to the last right. play. If he wasn't pressured by Jalen Carter, that would have been a touchdown by Matthew Stafford. So I don't think it'll affect either quarterback, but the skill position players need to secure the football, certainly.
Got to get into Caleb Williams. And really, just as a general sentiment, you know, how much of what he's doing in the second half, is it hero ball? And how much of it is playing within the confines of the offense? I'm personally impressed because I'll give you a data point right here. Rams played zone coverage 75% of the time. Second half of the season, he's at 7.25 YPA against zone versus 5.56 against man. It used to be that he was better against man because things are, I would presume, a lot more defined. So I'm impressed with his improvement against zone. So just talk about what you're seeing out of Caleb.
Yeah, he's been so much better as the year has gone along. And I'll just give you a case in point. When I arrived in training camp, he was getting overloaded. You know, Coach Ben Johnson was feeding him through a fire hose, and it was just too much for him. He couldn't really, you know, take it all in. And you could tell it was a problem for him. He would get overwhelmed earlier in games at, say, the first probably 6 weeks. You could tell he would get flustered on the sideline. But since then, he's settled down, John. You can tell he's in command of the huddle. He's in command at the line of scrimmage. Even a couple games ago, he does a hard count to draw, you know, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, Myles Garrett, offside. So he's aware of situations. He's aware of down and distances now, and he's in control. He's managing the game, not taking sacks when he can't take sacks. So I think you're right. I think your data point is correct. He has improved the entire season and gotten better as the year has gone on.
Not the greatest schematic matchup for Rome Odunze. He's a guy that has typically done a little bit better against man, but they need him, I feel, in this matchup, Jim. So any thoughts on the importance of Rome Odunze, you know, showing up here in this game? I mean, Loveland's been great. Burden is just a rookie, kind of putting a lot on his plate. DJ Moore's kind of in and out, been pretty good lately. I feel like Rome Odunze, they really want to get over the hump here. They need contributions from him.
Before Rome went out and he was, you know, out for whatever it was, three games, he was leading the Bears in receptions. So that was Caleb Williams' number one target. Since then, obviously Loveland has come to the forefront and become the number one target. And I think Burden has been mixed in there. Obviously, he got more opportunities when Rome was hurt. But I still think that Rome is his number one target. He's the big playmaker. He's got a big target to go through. He has much more surface area that he can, you know, surface area where he can catch balls that are over his head, where Caleb likes to sometimes shoot guys. And I think that's his favorite target. So I would look for him. I would look for Loveland. And then probably Burden is the third, and kind of DJ is tapered off. He's kind of, you know, probably the fourth on that list, but they use him for gadget plays is where he tends to show up in the Bears offense.
We are talking with our guy, Jim Miller, former NFL quarterback, Sirius XM NFL radio host. You know, Jim, I do miss having those great football convos at the Combine and the Senior Bowl with you and Pat Kerwin and all that. Great stuff. We've had some, very good conversations and just some ball lovers talking ball here. Well, speaking of ball, Puka Nacua, an absolute baller. So how are the Bears going to stop him? I mean, I think based on alignment numbers, he's going to see a lot of Jalen Johnson. Maybe they travel Jalen Johnson a little bit more. It seems like he matches up pretty well with Puka.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's going to mix it up quite a bit. I mean, but to your question, the Bears really haven't stopped anybody. I think they've given up the fourth or fifth most touchdown passes. And so really where they've done it is the takeaways. And a lot of that is just Dennis Allen mixing in a lot of defensive looks as the defensive coordinator. It'll be man, it'll be zone, it'll be blitz. And he just tries to throw a quarterback off, you know, maybe he shows man and then in the zone. And it's been enough to where it causes disruptions. And I think the other thing that really Dennis Allen has done well, especially against midline passers like Matthew Stafford. If you go back and look at Dennis Allen's numbers against Tom Brady, Tom's numbers were horrible against Dennis Allen for that very reason. Because midline passers, it's about timing and rhythm. So he tries to disrupt it at the line of scrimmage. He has long corners like Nashawn Wright that typically disrupt that, and it ends up being a tip where timing is off and they get a pick or two, and that's why they lead the NFL in takeaways.
How about the running games in this one here? It's kind of similar with a little bit of a two-headed monster here. I think it's a pretty good schematic matchup for both sides. I mean, as you know, the Bears have been a little suspect here, but how impressed are you with DeAndre Swift? I think it'll be a Swift game. He's good on those zone concept runs, and the Rams are shaky against those. Maybe not Manungai, because he's Mr. Man Gap Run, and the Rams are really good against those types.
Yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, if the Bears can play that kind of like that Atlanta Falcons, you know, I'm not saying that anybody on the Bears is Bijan Robinson, but Atlanta rushed for over 200 yards, and the Bears can mush it pretty good. And I think they want to make it that kind of a game if weather is a factor or wind is involved and try to run it. They haven't run it well. I didn't think they ran it well last week against the Green Bay Packers, but they've done it pretty well over the score of the season.
Well, now that we have time, because this is great, got to ask you about Drake May and the Patriots. You did play in New England there with Brady for a cup of coffee, I recall. And our producer, Michael Cohen, is the biggest Patriots fan I know. So he is right now on the edge of his seat. Your thoughts on Drake May's showing last week as it relates to this nasty matchup this week, sir?
Yeah, I do like Drake May. I think he's extremely talented, and he's got a bright future. And certainly Josh McDaniels has done a great job bringing him along. But I do think this is a tough matchup this week, you know, with what Houston's bringing to the table. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, they can just make you feel uncomfortable, and they can get a turnover or two. I mean, even look at last week's game. You know, the defense alone would have won the game 14-6, you know, with the two scores late.
Yeah.
They are a dominant group, and they can put you under a lot of duress. But Drake May has the benefit of his legs. I think he led even the Patriots in rushing last week. He can and does have escapability, which will give him a chance and the Patriots a chance.
Wow, great stuff here from Jim Miller. And while we have a moment, I did want to ask you about Davante Adams going back to that Bears game. You know, he did show pretty well last week. I kind of like Davante Adams as a little bit of a sleeper here as Puka gets a lot of attention. Any thoughts on DA?
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're the Bears, he's going to show a lot of too high because – Devontae, think of all those games he missed. He still leads the league in touchdown receptions. That guy has been a red zone killer. And I think the Bears are going to have to play a lot of too high down there, really invite the Rams to try and run it with Corm and obviously Williams. And that'll be something to see because the Bears have not been good at giving up a lot of red zone touchdowns, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's a matchup to watch, definitely.
Well, that's great stuff because I'm already in, Jim, on the over on Davante Adams over 56.5.
Absolutely.
Make sure you follow Jim on the X machine at @JimMiller_NFL. Great catching up with you, Jim, and chopping it up with you. Love talking football with you. I'll talk to you, sir, down the line.
You too, John. Enjoy the games, buddy.
There he is, the great Jim Miller. Great spot there. Great insight. Man, we got a lot in on that puppy. And when we return, I will make official picks and a lot of it in line with Jim Miller's analysis for the Saturday games here in the final segment of Prop Points here on VC.
Washing Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to the final segment of Prop Points here on VSIN. It is a Thursday, one more show before the weekend and the divisional round of the playoffs. But we thought that we got to make a little dramatic here. Let's get in on some plays for the Saturday games. And I am in on seven. And I really feel good about these. I mean, there's something about these standalone games. Not that these are standalone, but Monday's was a standalone and we were 4-2. And I want to go back, maybe look at our record on those standalone games, because I'm thinking that that's a thing. I want to be like Mr. Standalone. This is not standalone, but it's close. We only have the two games. So basically when I'm talking standalone, I'm really just really homing in on everything for just one game, which makes it so much easier. So that's why I think the record on the standalone games is much better than the Sunday record. But this is similar in that, you know, I dug in, looked at everything as hard as I could, all kinds of schematic data and the like, and I've got the props that I like. Well, I'm going to start. We'll do Bills Broncos first. These are not in any – well, these are in order for the game. Tomorrow we'll put up a big board of all of them ranked, but, you know, these are, if it's at the top of this list, it's probably going to be at the top of the master list, if you will, tomorrow. But starting off, I'm going to surprise maybe someone. I love this. I absolutely love this. Keon Coleman over 20.5 yards. I did not like Keon Coleman coming out. I said he stinks, basically. And he has stunk in 2 years. However, they are extremely thin, and not, I mean, when I say stink, I don't mean he can't do anything. I mean, he's just not that good because he doesn't beat zone coverage, basically. But the Bills are very thin at wide receiver. They're so desperate, they may actually elevate Mecole Hardman from the practice squad. But if there is a sleeper in this game at receiver, it's clearly Keon Coleman. He only had one target last week, but he caught it for 36 yards. Would have beat this prop on that one target. He is averaging a weak 1.31 yards per route run against man coverage this year. And obviously Denver, they play man at a top three clip. However, I recalled and I went back and I checked from 2024, he was their man beater. Oh, here he comes. Watch out, boy, he'll screw you up. No, he was their man beater. And he led the team with 2.08 yards per route run against man. He will see a lot of Riley Moss, who is rock solid, but he is also one of the most targeted corners in the league at 18%. Why? Because he plays opposite Pat Surtain, who is the man. I saw some quotes from Sean McDermott talking about the wide receiver injuries, Shavers and Gabe Davis on IR, and he's like, yeah, he was almost a little demonstrative. He's like, yeah, somebody's going to have to step up. And I'm like, yeah, he's talking about Keon Coleman. So 20.5, he'll probably get this on one catch. He is their man beater, and he'll get a couple downfield targets. Next up in the same game, Bo Nix, over 22.5 rushing yards. Very, very good number. It's a bad matchup for Bo Nix passing the football. Buffalo allowed the fewest passing yards per game, fourth fewest passing touchdowns per game over the last 5 weeks, second fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in the passing game only. It's worth -6 fantasy points, which could be, that could be a lot of yardage, quite frankly. It's also a bad schematic matchup for Bo Nix, who averages a pretty terrible 5.78 yards per attempt with a 0.1% completion percentage over expectation against two high safeties, which they run about 58% of the time. He has run for 42 plus yards in back-to-back games. Buffalo, the last 5 weeks, gives up the fourth most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks in the running game only. It's worth 2 fantasy points, which in terms of a boost to your average, that could be 20 yards. Trevor Lawrence got him for 6 carries for 31 in the matchup last week, and Nix got 4 carries for 43 in the postseason last year against the Bills, along with it, quite frankly, a very lame 144 yards passing, which could be the case again this week. Next up, I don't know if James Cook is going to go over or under his rushing total. It's a good number. What is it? 76.5. But I do know he's getting carries. So I'm going to go over 17.5 rushing attempts for James Cook. Pretty good odds here. Minus 108, DraftKings. Denver gave up the second fewest adjusted yards before contact, second fewest rushing yards per game, as Tom Brawley outlined. Now, he's been less effective on zone runs, and they're very good on those zone runs. But he's also good on the man gap runs, and he can do it all. He did get, in that playoff matchup last year, 23 carries for a $120 and a tutty. Yeah, it's the toughest matchup he'll see, but he can run on anyone, and they'll be committed to him. And I think he'll be able to get the volume, because I think it'll be a struggle bus on the other side as well. We've been pointing out the bad schematic matchups throughout the game on both sides. So we'll see a lot of running. I like that one a lot. Next up, I got to go for it with Dalton Kincaid, because that's the only good matchup for the Bills in the passing game. So I think it's very certain with the injuries that the Bills tight ends will be very involved. They are middling in terms of schedule adjusted fantasy points per game given up to tight ends the last 5 weeks. But on the season, they gave up the 9th most receiving yards per game, 12th most receptions. Two tight ends. It's also a good schematic matchup for Kincaid. He has been essentially their man beater this year, averaging a very strong 2.19 yards per route against man. Still on the injury report, but he's been working all week, and a 56% route share last week, as I mentioned earlier, second highest since week 2. That bodes extremely well. So I think he'll make a couple of plays here, 35.5. Next up for Niners, Seahawks, we were in on the Zach Charbonnet prop, 47.5. It's a good schematic matchup for both guys. San Fran gave up the 15th fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game in the final weeks of the season, but they gave up the 9th most adjusted yards before contact over the second half of the season. They gave up 5.45 yards per carry on zone runs, second most. Their 58% success rate on zone runs, third highest in that span. Good schematic matchup for both guys. Charbonnet is at 5.28 yards per carry, 12th best in that same span, and 54% success rate, 16th best, while Walker is only 56th best. So I think they'll both do well. I was very tempted to go with Walker over as well, but I'm not going to do it. I'll just go Charbonnet, but I do think both will probably go over. Charbonnet is clearly the safer bet. And two more to go here in that game, couple for the Niners. Christian McCaffrey. I just don't think they got a chance. So I'm going to go under 16.5 rushing attempts. Seattle gave up the 5th fewest adjusted yards before contact, third fewest rushing yards per game, along with the fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs the final 5 weeks of the season. McCaffrey had his second worst fantasy day in this matchup 2 weeks ago, only 8 carries for 23 rushing yards and 6 for 34. Seattle also gives up just 4.18 yards per carry on zone runs, 13th best, along with a 43.5% success rate, 6th lowest over the last 8 weeks of the season. CMC is only 38th out of 69 running backs with 25 or more carries the last 8 weeks on those zone runs. So it's a tough schematic matchup. Seattle is even better on the man gap runs. The only saving grace in the matchup in general is that Seattle gives up the 6th most receiving yards per game to running backs. That would explain why the receiving prop is so high at 51 to 53. He's only hit that total twice in the last 6 games, so I'm not in on that as well. And then finally, Jake Tonjes. We'll go over 34.5. Not the greatest schematic matchup, but he's tied for the team lead in targets per route run against zone, which they use 75% of the time. George Kittle did underwhelm, but in the matchup a couple of weeks ago, but over the last 5 weeks, they give up the 5th most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to the position, 7th most two tight ends lined up in line, and Tonjes is at 3+ receptions and 41+ yards in every game, 4 straight, that George Kittle missed. So I like that one a lot. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off. It is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. On today's show, Jeff Erickson stops by with his favorite player props for the divisional round. That is followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. Then stick around for VSiN Prime Time with Tim Murray and Matt Humans at 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back tomorrow with more guests, a little IDP props, and my picks for the Sunday games. Until then, enjoy your evening. We'll catch you manana with another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN.